This is Packer and Durham on ACCN and SiriusXM Channel 371.
So 500 tomorrow, by the way.
I am pumped for 500.
Yeah, we're going to have a big guest list, I guess. We never know what happens on these centennial shows.
7 o'clock, we'll show up, see what goes on.
See what happens. We'll probably have some people come by, surprise guests.
I don't know.
Lumberjacks. We're playing over and under today. I was kind of hoping for some true-false on 500, too.
I don't know.
I don't either.
We'll be here tomorrow.
But we'll see you at 7 a.m. for show 500, and we'll be the ones in ties.
That's right. Every one, show 100, 200, 300, 400, and 500.
Even during the quarantine and the pandemic,
we did.
We knotted up.
That's it.
Only other time we've ever knotted up was when we were told we'd lose our jobs if we didn't.
I wasn't told that. Were they told that to you?
Well, we knotted up for the Derby shows. Q-Series Derby shows.
Yeah. Q-Series.
We knotted up when we were asked to knot up for the ACC Legends.
We were told to wear it. We'd take showers and shave and everything.
Yeah. So
we did.
We'll be knotted up tomorrow. 500.
We had our act together.
All right. Best games in series history. We've had fun with this the last few weeks. We're going to keep it going through the regular season because, quite frankly, they're compelling matchups. And typically when you get in the conference play, you expect such. Wake and NC State are playing this weekend. You may have heard. It's a Saturday night commence our festival at Truist Field in Winston-Salem. We got a handful of games, but really what we focused on here was 2004, NC State won 27-21 in overtime. They rallied from a 14-point deficit. T.A. McClendon, kids, from Albemarle, North Carolina. 8-yard touchdown run to give the Wolfpack the win to go 3-1 and 2-0 in the league after they were seemingly out of it, Pack.
You know, I think of this rivalry, right? And I know you got a whole list in front of you. I'm going off script.
I got you.
The game that I want to talk about is 1992. What are you laughing at?
Okay.
You don't even know what the game was.
You're right.
You have no idea, do you?
No.
The reason I bring up 1992 is because both teams were ranked.
Oh.
It's the only time NC State and Wake Forest were ranked. And guess what we've got in Switzerland Saturday night?
The number first 12, since 1992?
Second time ever.
Wow.
Number 12 against number 16. Does it have any correlation? It does not, other than to connect the dots of how few times you've had both teams ranked going eyeball to eyeball. Now, they've played, what, 115? This is 115.
Yeah.
Right, these are old school rivals.
Used to be really close location-wise.
Right, Wake Forest, NC, right? So they know each other inside and out. NC State's had very little success in Winston-Salem. In the last 20 years, they're 2-8 in Winston-Salem. The Deacs have really been a problem for NC State. They've beaten them 3 of the last 4 years. State's 2-8 in Switzerland since 2001. But in 1992, West Durham, Wake Forest was 25th. NC State was in the teens. NC State took them to the woodshed, 42-14. That's the game that pops in my head.
All right.
Because you gave me all this on your list, which is great. But that's the game we have not seen since 1992.
All right.
Nearly 30 years ago.
Let's move on to Louisville-Syracuse.
All right.
You know why? Louisville leads the series 12-7. They've won 9 of the last 11. Remember, these were all Big East opponents. But recently, Friday night ACC showdown. You could say that all Lamar Jackson did in the opener, the year he won the Heisman Trophy against Charlotte, he had 8 touchdowns or something crazy that night. But when he did this, Adam Amin went crazy, and the Lamar Jackson thing was on for the rest of the year, Mark.
This is the game.
Yep.
I mean, I think of this series, that was the play, that was the game, and this weekend, number 8 goes up in the rafters.
That's it. Right?
Big celebration in Louisville, should be a blast. I think this is a fun game, too, by the way, this week. I mean, we had Dino on the show. These are two teams that get to the fourth quarter, and you're like, okay, who's winning?
Yep.
Right? I mean, Louisville's had a number of these fourth quarter getaways. Same thing with Syracuse. Something's got to give coming up this weekend. Good ball game.
62-28, the final 5 years ago. 14 years ago, they played. Andrew Robinson threw for 423-4. Syracuse beat number 18 Louisville. Roll the videotape. Look out over the top. Love the old school look by the orange with the shoulder
Syracuse
stripes.
Syracuse has got good looks.
Yeah,
man.
They do. Final was 38-35. Brian Brohm threw for 555 yards and four scores, but the Cards couldn't tackle the Orange.
Yeah, that I don't care what anybody – you can put as many highlights up there as you want. Mm-hmm. It was all about Lamar Jackson jumping over the entire city of Syracuse.
That's it.
That play was just crazy.
All right. Virginia-Notre Dame is Saturday night over on ABC. Tom Luganbill, our buddy, will be there with Dave Pasch and Dusty Dvorak. Notre Dame has won all three games in the series. Cavalier fans, hide your eyes here because we're going to roll it back 6 years to 2015 and the Surrender Cobra.
Yep.
At Scott Stadium.
Yeah.
Boy, it looked like Virginia was going to win the game.
Should have won this one.
Man. Remember now, Malik Zaire fractured his ankle. DeShone Kizer comes in the game. Virginia, man, come on now. You're going to win. You're going to win the game, right? No.
Boy, the Commonwealth has had some tough times with the Notre Dame Fighting Irish, right? I mean, Notre Dame has absolutely ripped their hearts out, right, whether it be in Blacksburg or Charlottesville. Late games.
Yeah. What we didn't show you was DeShone Kizer's 39-yard throw to Will Fuller with 12 seconds left to win it for Notre Dame.
And that was the ultimate surrender cobra.
Oh, yeah.
I still remember that picture of the poor guys
leaning over the thing. Yeah, the whole bit.
The worst.
All right. We're going to tackle Florida State-Miami here.
How do you do that? How many great games have they played?
Well, we don't even – I mean, we just throw four at you here. Miami leads the series 35-30. They've won four straight. We've picked four here. The crew's picked four. Let's start 1987. Miami 26, Florida State 25. There are about 60 NFL players on the two rosters combined.
Gosh.
Sammy Smith had nearly 200 yards. I think that's Michael Irvin.
Yeah, it is.
Yeah. Steve Walsh hit Irvin on a touchdown pass. Bobby Bowden opted to go for two.
You know, when you're watching highlights and law enforcement is losing their minds in the end zone celebrating, you know it's a big deal. Yeah. These games, I'm telling you, when these games that we're showing you go on ESPN Classic or wherever in the middle of the night, I swear I can't turn them off.
Right.
Because you start hearing the names.
Well, you know what we're talking about.
Oh, my God. And here's the thing, too. You start watching these old classic games between Miami and Florida State, and you start listening to the names of the guys making plays.
Right.
And you go, he's a Hall of Famer. He's an all-time star.
Right.
It is unbelievable when you start going through the list of players. When you watch old Miami-Florida State games, they are so much fun because you realize, I mean, the world doesn't know it yet, but 10 years later, that guy right there is going to be like one of the greatest players you've ever seen.
Absolutely.
And both sides were so loaded with so much talent. Oh, my gosh. It was so much fun.
All right. You saw the Michael Irvin 73-yard touchdown. Then Florida State went down the field. Danny McManus threw to Ronald Lewis. And rather than kick, McManus talked Bowden into going for two, and you saw on the final play, underthrows the tight end.
And Bobby Bowden said, all right, let's roll it. We're going to go for it.
Okay, 91.
This was the game.
Is wide right one.
30 years ago, Wes.
Yes, sir.
30 years ago.
Oh, boy, Jerry Thomas. Oh, bless your heart.
Again, look at law enforcement in the background. Every one of these highlights, law enforcement's involved.
Look at how much they've built up the doke in years, too, by the way.
Man, look how close this is. Yay. Dennis Erickson, maybe one of the worst coaches in the history of mankind in wearing a hat, Dennis Erickson.
Yeah, oh, yeah, never looked comfortable in
his hat. Never looked like they gave him the reject hat, and he still liked it, and he still was never able to – the brim was always kind of
– And when he had the headset on, the hat was wobble-jawed. And look at that.
Yeah, I mean, that's a terrible exercise.
Can you see that I've got a hat on my head?
He's a tremendous coach, but, man, he's one of the worst hat wearers in the history – of college football.
By the way, the rope hat has come back into style.
Of course. All of this is 30 years ago.
Yeah. Dan Mowry, by the way, missed the kick the next year in wide right two.
Wide right one, though. That was, again, every one of these games.
Yeah.
I mean, I'm telling you, if we just rolled the tape for the next 3 hours, you'd sit there and you'd watch every single play.
All right. 2004 is next. First time they played as ACC opponents. It's part of the reason we expanded the league. Frank Gore had an 18-yard touchdown run in overtime to win it. But before that, shoot, Santana Moss, player. Oh, is that Winky? No. Look at here now. We're scooping and scoring. Look at all this stuff, man. Is this crazy or not?
You know what?
This Brock Berlin, by the way, quarterback in the Canes that night.
The old Orange Bowl.
Sonoris Moss, not See Santana that? Moss. There's Frank Gore in overtime to win it.
Gosh.
Frank Gore, by the way, he and Darren Williams are going to box. Have you seen this?
Yeah, ridiculous.
Okay.
But whatever. Whatever. Hey, if you want to go watch that nonsense,
no, I'm not paying for that. I just thought I'd point out there's Frank Gore, the boxer.
Yeah, right. You know, I every time I see this highlight of this game,
yeah,
the first thing that pops in my head is, and we thought we were going to get that in the ACC championship.
Every year.
Every year.
And we're still waiting.
It's 2021, and we're still not going to see
still
it.
Still waiting.
That hard. That is still hard to believe.
The last one we're going to pick, by the way, that was 16-10 Miami. The last one was 5 years ago. The block at the Rock. Right?
Yep.
Wow. We're slinging it all over the place. Braxton Berrios returns a punt.
You know, Manny Diaz, who was just with us, said something in our interview. He said, you know what? When the colors of these two uniforms get together, it's spectacular. He's right.
Oh, yeah. Look at here. Dalvin Cook.
He's gone.
Yeah, he is.
Forget it.
Well, Eastern Airlines banner in the end zone there. By the way, what you don't see at the end is DeMarcus Walker blocking Michael Badgley's extra point to preserve the win 20-19.
Oh, man. What a series.
Yep.
And everybody hopes it can get back to that.
Oh, tell right? the truth.
I mean, it'll
right?
still be incredibly intense this weekend just because of who they are.
Yeah.
But, man, the league would desperately want and need to get both of them back to how it was. Where, guess what? There's a small old number beside their name when they get together. Mm-hmm. Right? Got to have it.
Yep.
Want to get back to that national news.
You've said this for 500 years. Shows.
Right.
Miami, Florida State, Virginia Tech. Gotta those brands nationally, and Clemson certainly adds to that.
Right. Have to be good.
If those four are good, the ACC is living in that big house neighborhood.
I mean, just think about it, Wes. Mm-hmm. If that were the case, and you're going to throw in number 12 Wake, number 16 That's NC it. State,
right.
number 21 Pitt, mm-hmm. game's over.
Yep.
Game's right. over.
No doubt.
It's got to happen.
The Packer and Durham Podcast. Here's Mark Packer and Wes Durham.
We're looking back at some of the great showdown games of games that are coming up this week in terms of the series.
Pittsburgh and Carolina tomorrow night, Heinz Field. Tar Heels and Panthers played series in the 70s and then kind of had a soft renewal in the 80s. And one of them was a Labor Day night game, 1982, beginning of the season. Remember Pittsburgh had Dan Marino at quarterback. Carolina was coming off the 80 team, playing the great game in 81 against Clemson. They had another good team that year with Dick Crum. So they opened the 1982 season on CBS, playing at Three Rivers Stadium. Number 5 Carolina, number 1 Pittsburgh. Battle of Heisman Trophy candidates. Dan Marino threw for 125 yards and 4 interceptions. Kelvin Bryant was the other Heisman Trophy candidate. He went for 58 yards on 16 carries. And in a scintillating football game that the nation got to see, Pittsburgh won by a point, 7-6. You're looking it up, aren't you?
Here's where I'm confused a little bit.
Okay.
I remember watching the game because I was in college.
Right.
But I remember Labor Day night, 82, I thought was Clemson,
was it the next
Georgia.
Week?
I think it was the next week.
Was it?
Because I remember Clemson, Georgia on Labor Day night. The two previous national champions played in Athens.
Right.
It was another one of those 13-7 low score, nobody could score games.
We'll see what this. I'm going to look at. Maybe it wasn't Labor Day night. Might have been. It was Dick Crum's fifth year coaching the team.
But I remember watching North Carolina Pitt.
September 9th, 9 o'clock start. So it was a week later.
Yeah, that's what
I
thought.
It was not Labor Day night.
That's what I thought.
It was on a Monday night, though.
That I don't know.
Yeah, CBS televised the game. Pittsburgh won 7-6 in front of 54,000 at Three Rivers.
But I just remember Clemson losing the season opener in 82. And when I was in college, we all knew North Carolina and Maryland were going to be really, really good. And they were.
Yeah.
And that showdown with the Heels and Pittsburgh was old school rock'em sock'em football. Right? Mm-hmm. Great stuff.
The Carolina game that year was the Tyrone Anthony game, but Clemson won late at Memorial Stadium, 16-13.
That's right.
They had lost. Carolina lost. Now, remember, this was, as Pac said, Maryland, Carolina, Clemson.
Those three were tremendous.
Willie Joyner was the running back at Maryland. He ran crazy
Bobby
on Carolina.
Ross,
Bobby Ross.
Great teams there.
So Carolina was undefeated. Carolina had lost the opener to Pitt. Then they beat Vanderbilt.
Everybody does.
No, but that was 82. That was Vanderbilt, like George McIntyre's team that went to the All-America Bowl.
And they
like,
still beat them.
Yeah. First bowl game since 55.
That's what Vandy does.
Then they went and hung 62 on Army, came back, beat Georgia Tech 41-0, won at Wake Forest, beat NC State 41-9. They lose to Maryland the next week at home and lose to Clemson the following week.
Right.
So back-to-back weeks, lose to Maryland, lose to Clemson. It's over for Carolina. They then lose to Duke 23-17, Red Wilson's last game, I think.
That means go.
Yep. One of Red Wilson's last games.
Well, that North Carolina Pitt game was that was for grown men only, though. I mean, that was
7-6.
Great
Hugh
game.
Green playing for Pitt.
God, he was so good.
Oh, yeah. They played 5 years ago. Mitch Trubisky threw a 2-yard touchdown pass to Bug Howard with 2 seconds left. Carolina rallied to beat Pittsburgh. There's a bad uni for you, Pack. Navy blue pants, navy blue helmet.
Pitt's wardrobe is 10 trillion times better now than it was then. You know, I mentioned this to you, Wes. These teams have played traditionally tight games. The last nine have been decided by a touchdown or less. They hook up tomorrow night in Pittsburgh. And North Carolina has really had great success since Pitt's joined the league for whatever reason. I mean, sometimes teams just match up with one another. North Carolina's always felt pretty good playing Pitt.
How about 2 years ago? Roll the videotape. 2 years ago, Kenny Pickett, a 3-yard run to give the Panthers the lead in the extra period. This game goes to overtime. You may remember Carolina wearing navy blue helmets.
Yeah, looking like Duke. And playing like Duke.
They lost. There's the game. Pickett. Kenny had a big night now.
Only time Pitt's beat North Carolina since they joined the league. Just saying. Just saying. That's a big deal tomorrow night.
Yeah.
In a lot of different ways.
Boston College and Georgia Tech play this weekend. Hard to forget if you're a Boston College fan. The road to the ACC title game kind of started after you beat Wake Forest to start the season. Matt Ryan comes to Atlanta, throws for 427 on a Saturday night. They beat Georgia Tech. And then that kind of buoys BC. The next year, Paul Johnson takes over as coach. Jonathan Dwyer scores in the final minute. They end up winning 19-16. That was Johnson's second game as head coach at Georgia
Getting
Tech.
Getting flashbacks.
A little bit.
Being up there in the booth.
Well, and then 2016, they played in Ireland. I should have brought the hat. They opened the game in Dublin. You get some plays in the secondary for Johnson's team, but the star of the game was Matthew Jordan and Dedrick Mills.
Mm.
Mills, a true freshman, had a 4-yard touchdown run with 35 seconds left. Justin Thomas had a couple big completions. Here's the touchdown for Mills and the game winner. In Ireland, Georgia Tech beat Boston College 17-14.
Do you like those international games to start things off? Does that do anything for you?
I've been to Japan for a preseason game in 2005.
How was that?
It was okay. It's okay.
They treat you with respect?
They do. It was a great trip. I mean, in terms of the hospitality, and it was phenomenal.
How was the food? Pretty good?
Yeah, it was all right. Kind of interesting. Best sushi I've ever had.
Well, I would hope so.
There's a Matt Schaub story there. If he ever comes on this show, we'll tell the story.
What he did.
Patrick Kearney, Matt Schaub. First time Schaub ever tried sushi, he tried it in Japan because Kearney told him, said, if you eat the sushi here, you'll never have to eat it again if you don't like it. And Schaub goes, why is that? And Pat goes, because it's the best sushi you're ever going to taste. Schaub started eating sushi and didn't stop.
Rest is
history. Oh, he had a blast. Yeah, it was great.
That makes sense.
Virginia Tech and Duke are also in this mix here. 2014, the Hokies won 17-16. All right, the ball game at 3:30 on ACC Network this week. Michael Brewer highlights pack. 12 for 23, 138 yards, two scores, one to Bucky Hodges, one to Isaiah Ford. Yeah, looks like we got some Anthony Boone video creeping in there too, huh? But the Hokies won by point 17-16.
That has been kind of a nondescript rivalry, though, hasn't it? I mean, given how crazy the Coastal has been.
Well, 5 years ago, it was a big play in special teams because Adonis Alexander returned a blocked field goal for the go-ahead touchdown. There's Thomas Sirk, the touchdown vulture, throwing bullets. But there's Sirk on the run. I still haven't found any confirmed status on Gunnar Holmberg yet. There's a throw for a score, but the game hedged on a blocked field goal. Virginia Tech won 24-21.
Kind of curious to see what the vibe will be at Lane Stadium for that game.
I agree with you.
Would you? I mean, given where Virginia Tech is right now, coming off what happened Friday night in up in Boston College, and here's Duke limping to the finish line. Just kind of curious to see what that looks like.
I'm with you on that one.
Packer and Durham. This is the Packer and Durham podcast.
He's one of the most ready kids we've had here. You know, just like, and when I say ready, I'm talking about just really technically and fundamentally advanced. You know, guys that we've had come in here, Sammy Watkins was that way. I mean, just from a just technical fundamental standpoint, just really advanced. Jay Ross was that way, and Bo's that way.
Ooh,
that's high praise right now.
Okay.
High praise.
Here we go.
All right, making his debut on the show, we go down to Tigertown. Bo Collins joins us, and I'll see what's going on. There he is. Bo, first of all, good morning. Appreciate you joining the show. Feels like California down there in the upstate of South Carolina this morning, doesn't it?
A little bit. Good morning to you guys, too.
It's good having you on here. You know,
wait a second. Were you doing an L.A. Clemson comparison right from the jump on Bo Collins' first visit to our show?
Yeah, I was. Is there a problem with that?
Bo, tell Mark.
Yes, sir.
Mark's a smart guy now. Went to Clemson. Econ degree. Econ major. Very successful. Multi-billion dollar entrepreneurial spirit. But comparisons between L.A. and Clemson don't start with weather, I'm guessing, right?
No, sir. Just being out here, there's a lot of hospitality, good people, you know, out in California, everybody's not as nice, but out here you get a lot of, homewarming, just a good feeling out here. So that's the biggest comparison, I would say.
See?
All right. I wasn't going to go down this route, but now that my partner's dragging me down the alley here, when's the first time you had grits?
Oh, I had grits. My mom cooks grits, so I've been having grits since I was little.
Okay.
Yes, sir. Saturday mornings, waking up before the games, having grits and eggs and bacon.
All right.
So
this
I've been having those for years.
All right, so no surprise in that Southern hospitality. It sounds like you got a head start out there in the West Coast. I want to get to the game, though, Saturday against Louisville. I was down in Death Valley for the Florida State game. I'm sitting there watching you guys Saturday night, and it almost seemed like – ta-da, there's the guy. Bo Collins in the slot. Your man DJ hitting you wide open in stride for the touch. It felt like for the first time there was that connection that all of a sudden now the game looks easy. Did it feel that way for you, or is it still kind of a work in progress?
Yeah, I definitely think it's starting to feel like that. Getting our groove together in practice and just feeling more comfortable within the system, I definitely feel like it's going that way.
Bo, football's interesting. I mean, you guys were there in the spring. You know kind of how the process works on offense, and yet bell rings, season starts, and there's a lot more hurdles in front. Can you walk us through kind of what this has been like in terms of improvement, chemistry, strategies? I mean, what are all the changes and maybe the long walk to success for you and this football team in some light?
I would just have to say we had to sit down and take a deep breath to start the season. We were all riled up for the first game against Georgia. You know, things didn't go the way we wanted it in that game. And after that, we were just making little mistakes. Everybody had to focus in and doing their 111th. And now that I would say we have more confidence, we have more of a rhythm on offense, everything's starting to flow well.
I want to go back to the whole California to Clemson thing. You know, we talk about brands all the time. And Clemson's national brand with this unbelievable run that Dabo's been on. When you're growing up in California and you're watching college football on Saturdays around the land, at what point in time did you realize, man, Clemson, I need to go check out the Tigers. What's this, what's going on out there in Clemson, South Carolina? Walk us through growing up as a kid where all of a sudden you had some skills, some talent. You loved playing football. You see Clemson on the map and you go, you know what? I'd be crazy if I don't check them out.
Yes, sir. Growing up, I watched a lot of West Coast schools. Didn't really get my eye on Clemson until about middle school. And just seeing guys like T. Higgins and big bodies like myself perform the way they do, it was a no-brainer for me when I got the offer from here. So just seeing myself in the shoes that they were in is the biggest part for me.
But, Bo, you played high school ball with DJ at St. John Bosco. You guys had a level of familiarity with one another. You're playing really competitive, high-level high school ball. And then all of a sudden, it gets shut down last fall. I mean, there is no season.
Yes, sir.
So you catch the early enroll. You go through spring. How much of the DJ impact was there in your decision? But also, how good has it been to have somebody who knows you from back in L.A. to also help you acclimate to being a part of this program as well?
He helped my decision a lot, actually, coming here in the spring, just being able to get back with him, get back on one accord, knowing I was going to have to play a season with him. It was just a no-brainer for me and my family. And just getting back to into the groove of things with him this season, this offseason, it's been pretty fun just slinging the ball around like it's high school, and now we're finally getting back to what we used to do.
Is there a confidence level with this football team now that maybe you didn't have a month ago, 3 weeks ago?
Oh, yeah, no doubt. As far as the offense, we're kicking it all on all cylinders right now. In practice, we're having the best practices of the year, and I just say we keep getting better and stronger as the year is going on.
All right, so this week it's UConn, all right? Wes Durham's going to be on the call. He helps to announce your name at least 7 times in the end zone. You finally found that end zone. How'd that feel? I know that was a goal going into the year.
No doubt, yeah. It felt great getting in that end zone for the first time, and it just felt even better being on the road, just getting over that hump, I would say, as far as our offense on the road, playing well on the road, and just first touchdown, there's no other feeling like it.
All right, so the last third of the season, you understand what's out there in front. You guys have got 3 regular season games left, starting with Saturday's game. We already heard the coach throw, you know, how you're technically gifted, all the comparisons. I mean, got a Sammy Watkins thrown in there. I mean, what's that feel like to hear that from your head coach?
Oh, that's pretty big. I came in with expectations of myself, and just to see what the coaches have said about me is building a lot more confidence within my game and just keeping me driving and my head down and hard working. Mm. Yes, sir.
What's been the hardest part of making the transition to big-time college football?
Hardest part, I would just say the speed of the game. But once you get your plays down, you're knowledgeable of where you need to be on certain plays, it slows down a lot. But the biggest transition was the speed of the game for me.
Bo, here's the deal, though. You had 5 catches in the first 4 games. You've had 12 in the last 3. I mean, there is a curve here. Sometimes do people forget, you know, there is a transition that has to take place at some point in all this, I guess. And some of it goes during the season, right?
Yes, sir, no doubt. Just the beginning of the season, I had to really acclimate myself within the Clemson system and just, I would say, get more comfortable. I was thinking a lot, not running full speed, not making the plays down the field, but now I'm a lot more comfortable playing full speed and having intense focus, as Coach Grisham would say.
Bo, I'm always curious, especially since I've spent some quality time at that establishment, which I love.
Yes, sir.
Football is so important, as you well know, for so many people in the upstate and love Clemson football. You guys are under tons of scrutiny and pressure because Clemson's had such a ridiculously high standard. It's been kind of a crazy year. You've got school that you got to deal with. How do you get away from all this? What do you do in Clemson, South Carolina, for a kid that's coming from California to just kind of say, hey, football can wait, school can wait, I just need to clear my mind and go to chill and grill? What do you do?
Yes, sir. I've had a chance to get out to the lakes up here. Coming from L.A., we don't have many lakes out there. We just go to the beach. But being able to go to the lake, I've been in the summer and just, I say relaxing. Pretty much. There's a lot of downtime we could have here, and just enjoying the nature is the biggest thing.
Yeah, it's those lakes are beautiful though, aren't they? Kiwi, Hartwell.
Yes,
I mean, you can kind of get lost out there and just get away. It's one to me, it's one of the most one of the great reasons to go to school there, because you get a chance, you're in the mountains, you got the water, you can disappear, which is kind of nice.
Yes, sir.
All right. Here we go.
You want the traditional question?
Bo, have you been told what the traditional question is? I'm always curious how many people are told.
No, I have not.
Ooh, all right, good. We're going to catch you flat-footed then.
Yep, good.
All right, since you've been at Clemson, what has been your hardest class?
Ooh, I got one. My hardest class has been business calculus. I took that over the summer, and it was by far the hardest class I've ever taken.
Business calculus. Oh, by the way, any name, image, and likeness? We working on anything yet?
I have had a couple of deals. I have like a mellow mushroom deal, pizza, shock doctor, clothing brands, but nothing too major yet.
Mellow mushroom.
Still working on it.
All right. Well, let's give mellow mushroom a plug here. What's your go-to when you walk in that joint?
The Funky Q chicken pizza. It's one of their barbecue pizzas there. It's real good.
When are we going to have the Bo pizza? I mean, that's part of the deal, right? I mean, mellow mushroom.
Oh, yeah, I'm working on it.
Right? I mean, if they're paying attention,
yes,
I mean, you know, you can't steal that one. But, man, you might put a little California twist on that thing a little bit and have the Bo pizza.
Yeah, what would the Bo pizza? What would the Bo pizza have on it, Bo?
I would say it has bacon on it, chicken on there, maybe a little barbecue sauce, buffalo sauce on there as well. And got to add some vegetables, so probably olives.
Nice.
All right, yes, sir. Let me give you an idea for free.
Oh, boy.
I'm going to give you a free one here. Right, now, hear me out, because you seem like a really smart guy. You got your act together.
Yes, sir.
All right. Bo Collins. I'm from the South. I'm thinking sponsorships. We got one in Bo Jangles. How about B-E-A-U-X Jangles? Bo Jangles, right?
Yeah, no-brainer. I'm liking that one.
Right? That's a no-brainer.
Sir.
Those folks at Bo Jangles should be all over you, my man. Bo Jangles.
His guys already had one with Bo Jangles, I think.
I know, but the difference is Bo, B-E-A-U-X,
I know.
Makes a ton of sense.
It does, and they went to the Bosco together, so DJ already have hooked him up, I bet, with a biscuit or three.
Hear me out. What's Bo Jangles famous for? Cajun biscuits.
Oh,
right?
Chicken,
B-E-A-U-X.
I know.
You're onto something there with that one.
Free of charge. I hope that works out for you.
Yeah. Hey,
yes,
Bo,
sir.
Take advantage of it now, because the next one, he'll want a percentage.
Yeah, that's right. Once you hit it big, Bo, the next one I give you is going to be at least 5% coming this way. All right? That's how that works.
I got you.
All right.
Yes, great
sir.
To have you
good
with
work,
us.
Man.
Look forward to seeing
you
Saturday.
Guys.
All right, you bet.
Yes, sir.
Bo Collins of Clemson, off to a great start, 100-yard game and a touchdown on Saturday night in the win over Louisville. Really enjoyed our visit there, and we thank Ross Taylor for taking care of us with Bo Collins this morning.
B-E-A-U-X Jangles.
You got it.
Works, right?
How about 12 catches in the last three games?
You know, Clemson's been trying to tweak this whole slot, right? Justin Ross inside.
Will Taylor got hurt.
Right. I mean, they've had all kinds of injuries, you know, and Ngata's now out for at least a couple more weeks. It's crazy. They just can't get healthy this year. But that guy right there, Bo Collins, seems like a natural fit in the slot, and it's such a key position in Clemson's offense. So better late than never.
That's
Tigers
right.
Tigers kind of maybe found the answer here. heading into November.
Here's Mark Packer and Wes Durham.
Packer and Durham on a Wednesday. Appreciate Bo Collins joining us, making his debut. Manny Diaz joined us in hour number one. We got more guests coming your way in the Power Hour, which will be great. But right now, Wes, we go up to Bristol, Connecticut, home of the smart people. Mm-hmm. And the voice of multiple victories, Josh Macri, feeling good about Cuse last night, almost going triple digits. Start things off in hoops.
There you go.
How about that?
There he is, ladies and gentlemen.
So it's still just one victory in hoops, right?
Victory. Yes.
You got a chance.
So
got a chance
to
add to it on Sunday.
Victory for now.
You can add to it on Sunday.
Tell you what, I sense a calm, confident Macri for hoop season. I do.
Have you ever experienced that before in our 2+ years together?
No, but this year is different.
Feel like we're turning a new leaf?
I do.
I don't think we've had calm, cool Macri for anything, football or basketball.
I'm sensing something's brewing in Syracuse.
Oh, you're going to really ride this thing.
Told you 3 weeks ago I was high on Syracuse.
Yeah, you did. Okay. All right. You did, no doubt.
It's kind of like when I told you in the middle of the summer, I think Wake Forest can go 8-0. Right?
They went 8-0.
They did.
Yeah.
I had the same vibe about Syracuse basketball.
How do you think Wake's going to do down the stretch here? Are you concerned?
I am.
Yeah. All right.
I was concerned last week.
Mm-hmm. I know you were.
That's because I would have told you 9-0.
You did voice that opinion.
But I said only 8-0.
Yeah,
for a reason.
That's right, because you were concerned about it last week.
And moving forward.
So is Josh. Josh is concerned about this week.
I'm concerned about this segment and a little bit of over-under.
That makes three of us.
Well, so let's, so let's defy our own expectations here. And you provided a good kind of first segue by talking about Wake Forest. They've scored over 35 points every single game this season. They've scored over 44 games in a row. Meanwhile, NC State, their opponent this week, has only surrendered 30 points or more one time. That was in their loss to Miami, where they gave up 31.
Okay.
So, over-under, 30 points for the Swiss against NC State this week.
Not 35, 30.
30.
Under.
Ooh.
Going under.
Do you want to elaborate on that?
I think these two know each other very well. Interesting game last year in Raleigh. It was early in the season, as you recall, week two.
How many points were scored in that game?
Not a ton.
Really?
I don't think so, right?
You're sure?
No.
How about if I said over and under is 80?
Wow. I'm gonna stay under 30. I just think defense ends up playing a bigger piece in this. I think NC State slow. I've already told you, I think NC State limits possessions, runs the ball, all that.
Here's why I'm going to go under, but not for what you're talking about.
Okay.
I think it's going to go under because it's a championship game. And I know Dave Dorn was on with us yesterday and said, hey, we got games after this one, Syracuse, North Carolina, and he's right.
Mm-hmm.
But the hype for this one, 12 against 16.
Right.
The winner's got the inside track. It feels like this really is the game. And you get situations like this, I think everybody plays a little tight.
They were way over 80 last year.
Excuse me?
They had 87 last year.
That's why I said to you, are you sure about that? Because was in the 40s.
I knew.
45, 42 or something like that.
Yeah.
But that was early, and neither one really thought, hey, it's still Clemson and forget it, right? Different story this year. This one's on you two, right? Hey, Wake. Hey, State. Let's go play.
That's correct.
So I'm going to go under only because I think the moment everybody will be a little bit more conservative early.
Okay.
So I think everybody will be a little tighter. So I'm going to go under.
All right.
For different reasons than you are.
Okay. Next, please.
All right. Duke looked impressive last night in their opener against Kentucky, beating a ranked team. Over under, however, 2.5 total wins over ranked opponents this season for the Duke men's basketball team. They already have one. They have two more shots right now, once against the Zags on the 26th, once against the Buckeyes on the 30th.
Were you familiar that this is Coach K's final year?
That's what I heard.
I'm going to go over. I know they play Gonzaga. I know they play Ohio State.
I'm going to go under. I saw some of the Buckeyes last night.
Not very good.
I think Duke can handle them. The Zags, that might be a different animal now.
Yeah, but I've also seen Duke do those type things too. That game's in Vegas, as I recall.
It is.
T-Mobile. Yeah, I'm taking Duke. Taking Duke in November.
We'll differ on that. But yeah. I was impressed with Duke last night. Yeah,
I'm going.
I know it's one game, but
I'm going over. They'll beat Ohio State. They will beat Ohio State. They don't have to play as well they played last night to beat the Ohio State I saw last night.
Ohio State last night was beyond fortunate to beat Akron on their home court.
Akron got great looks, too. Gosh. I mean, looks after looks after looks.
Close the deal.
Yeah.
All right, so, we'll see what goes on that one. Next.
I thought you were going in a different direction there. I thought you were saying Ohio State is so bad that they won't even qualify as a ranked opponent by the time the 30th of this month comes around.
I'll say this, one more like last night and they might not be. One or two more El Doceritos pack.
Yeah, but at the end of the night it was a W. Yeah. It was an ugly, it was, but it was a W.
Because the kid from Akron was trying not to get called for the foul at the goal.
I don't need the play-by-play. It's win or loss. It was a W.
Just a kid from Akron. Knowles and Canes this weekend. Over under 2.5 passing touchdowns for Tyler Van Dyke against Florida State during the Canes' winning streak. He's averaging over 3. The Knowles allowed 4 last weekend to Devin Leary.
I'll go over. TV dinner, I'll go over.
Over under is 2.5. It's too light. Too light for me. I'm going over.
Yeah.
Going over.
What if it was 3.5? What if Vegas had been smarter on that line and made it 3.5?
Under. Vegas,
I'd go under.
I'd have gone under Vegas. I would have gone under. 2.5 is a light number given what that kid's doing.
So you're saying the proper answer is 3?
Mm-hmm. Boy, I tell you what. Smart guy up here in Bristol.
Hey, he can't slide by. Yeah, he's got one of those SI Newhouse degrees.
You can't get anything past him.
He can't fool them guys that went to, you know, the Qs. All right.
All right, guys, last one here. 3 dozen scouts in attendance, allegedly, for Carolina and Pitt. Over under 800 yards of total offense that they'll see Sam Howell and Kenny Pickett put up in that game tomorrow evening.
Under.
Over.
Under.
Now, that includes rushing offense, does it not? Because I think both those guys will scamper. Yeah, I think they'll both be over.
Do you? Over 400?
Yeah, both those guys running, passing.
You think one will be 300 and another one will be 500?
As long as it's over 800, it's a winner. I'm going to go over. I don't think North Carolina defensively is very good.
I think the winning number tomorrow night starts with a 4 in that game.
It wouldn't surprise me at all. I don't think North Carolina can stop a cold defensively. Yeah. And I think Pitt, with that pressure, I think Sam Howell's going to sit back and go, okay, cool. Yeah. Man coverage, let me throw it deep. And if not, I can run.
Yeah.
I think Sam Howell put on a show, and I think Pickett will too.
By the way, we have basketball tonight at 9 o'clock here on ACC Network with Florida State hosting Penn. But the afternoon is going to feature the men's soccer championship semifinals, Mark. While you're doing off campus, we will get the men's soccer semifinals, the 5th seed Notre Dame and top seed at Pittsburgh are at 5 Eastern, then the 2nd seed Duke, the 3rd seed Clemson follows. That's the ACC men's soccer semifinals. Starts at 5 today and at 7. And then Jay Alter, Dan Bonner will join you from the Tucker Center in Tallahassee for Penn and Florida State, our first look at the Noles.
Looking forward to that. Yeah. There's a lot going on in November. That's why I love this month.
The Packer and Durham Podcast.